Blog Talk Radio.
Any further ado,
I would ask all of my beautiful podcast listening audience on tonight, if you would bow your head as we go down and acknowledge the one and the only Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the soon coming King. We will bow down and reference him on tonight before entering into our digital program. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of sovereignty and your love unmeasured. Hallelujah. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for having us together in unity once again around this spectrum. Lord, we're coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west, God. And Father God, as we always say, we know that this world is not our home. This is just a hole over, and you got a permanent place for those of us that are living according to your command. And God, I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay, God, on tonight to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins. Father God, I'm asking you to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the pity of their very soul. Father God, we will be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and praise. These and other petitions we place before your throne of grace. In Jesus' righteous name we pray, and we shall all as a combined sheepfold of God say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And our tonight's sermon, we're going to talk about conversion. And we know that Jesus said to us, said that, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that, saints and friends, and those of you that are supporters of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you that are my friends, my kinship, my extended church family, God said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that is found in the biblical law of John 3:3. And we know that if you were a Christian and happened to be in existence back in that time in the Palestine and the time of Saul at Tyre, you would do well to flee and hide, because we know that this deeply devout Jew was filled with bitterness and hatred, hallelujah, over the new religion of those of his people who were following the risen Christ. And we find out that Saul had obtained permission from the Jewish authorities to go and round up and imprison all the believers. And I tell you, he went as far away as Damascus in Syria. That was a city that was about 150 miles away. And they had a large population of Jewish people. And they had already participated in the stoning death of the first Christian. And we know that in Acts 7 and 58, and then you can go on, extend it down to 8:1. And now he had tasted for more Christian blood. Yet after that fateful day on the Damascus Road, we know that Saul's life would never be the same. Hallelujah. And so suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are prosecuting. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told, hallelujah, what you must do. And we know, hallelujah, that the men who joined with him stood speechless. They heard a voice, but seeing no one. Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Hallelujah. And he was 3 days there, and even though he didn't have any sight, neither did he eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, arise and inquire at the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, named Ananias, coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. But the Lord said to him, go, his is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many times he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laid his hands on him. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received, hallelujah, his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he had been strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples, at Damascus. Then immediately he preached to Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed. Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwell in Damascus, proving that this Jesus, hallelujah, is indeed the Christ. We read that in the law book of Acts 9:3-13 and then 15 on through to 22. Now visualize Saul's emotions as he traveled the road from Jerusalem, hallelujah, to Damascus on what he considered a holy crusade. And we know that surely that would be an intense look in his eyes if he was riding a horse. His spurs would no doubt digging deeply into the flesh of the word animal. Saul was determined to reach Damascus as rapidly as possible. And his entourage was probably under order from the angry man that there was to be no let up. But when that voice came from above, Saul fell to the ground, hallelujah, and surrendered. Unaware as yet that a new man was being born within himself. Although his response was, who are you, Lord? And we know that that indicated that he knew he was being addressed by the deity. And Saul had a meeting with God that he would never, ever forget. And there was a complete turnaround in his nature, even his name changed. And Saul, who became Paul, perhaps the most influential Christian missionary of all time, had been born again. And his self-centered concerns were tossed away and replaced by godly altruism. Hallelujah. And we know that a conversion brings about change. We're going to read about some of the changes that a conversion makes in one's life. And we find out, hallelujah, that the apostles writing in the biblical passage that described his experience testified to five basic changes that Christ brought into Paul's life. And they are characteristic of all true Christians' conversion. We know that he prayed and God used Saul, hallelujah, properly to convince Ananias and other Christians that Saul had been truly converted. And we know that the Lord said, behold, he is praying before, hallelujah, conversion. People use prayers, we know, as an emergency in time of an emergency. And they would cry and say, Lord, help me through this exam. Or, Lord, please heal my wife. Come rapidly to the lips of even those who would normally pray at all. But we know that once a person is adopted into God's family, the body believer, it becomes the most natural thing in the world to desire to walk with God. And he is our Heavenly Father. The prayers is the Christian's vital breath. And it becomes a spontaneous expression of gratitude and servitude to God. Hallelujah. And I want to ask you that are out there in my podcast listening audience on tonight, do you pray regularly with thanksgiving and praise? If not, I humbly suggest that you would probably never been converted. But we know as a Christian, maturity develops. All believers find that from their walking thoughts to the closing moments of each day, there should always be an inward desire to communicate with the living God in prayer. And we know that we should practice the Lord's will in our daily lives. Where a loving relationship exists, a desire to please one, pardon me, becomes an overriding concern. We know that within days of his Damascus Road experience, Saul had been baptized. And this was an outward expression of the inward miracles that had taken place. We know that baptism does not make a person a Christian. We know that. But it is a sort of a badge of discipleship that signifies a covenant with God. Jesus commanded it in the law book of Mark 16:16. We know that the new convert complies with obedience. And so we know that this is one's attitude after conversion. And I want to ask you again, you that are listening out there in my podcast listening audience on tonight, are you up to date on your obedience to Christ? I'd like to know when did something change in your behavior simply because Christ commanded you to act differently? And if there is not such a desire to live to become more like Christ, perhaps it's because you have never really been born again. And we know that he preached. We read in the law book of Acts 9 that the newly converted Paul immediately preached the Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. That's in verse 20. And anywhere and at all times, we know that the Christian will want to chat about his or her beloved Savior. We know that. Hallelujah. And so we find out, hallelujah, that when one is being obedient to God, you know, then you want to go and tell everybody. You want to boast about this God, that this newly God that has entered into your life. Hallelujah. And so, because God, you know, we can never hide God at all. and we wouldn't really want to. Who would want to hide a great big God? I mean, you know, just wonderful God, loving. So we know that it's no greater love than a man to lay down his life for his friend. And we know that that's what God did, was lay down his life for mankind. And so we know that Christ died to save us. And we who were rebels against all, he repented. How then can a true believer keep silence about the matter? You cannot keep silence, saints of God and friends, and you that are out there in my podcast listening audience. We know that among the true converts, hallelujah, there will be a desire to speak to others about your eternity and the need to settle things with their creator, God. You have the task of proclaiming Christ. It's not just a job of professors and preaching, but it is a responsibility of every converted man or woman, our child, hallelujah. We know that he was prosecuted. After his conversion, Saul the hunter became Saul the hunted. And it was not long before the Jews plotted to kill him. We read that in the law of Acts 9:23. Paul was to be a life of suffering and prosecution. Yet he found a contentment and joy in serving Christ that outweighed everything else. And we know we can find joy in serving God. We might go through trials and tribulations, but we can find eternal rest to know that we have a living Christ that we serve and we can go to in a time of need. And we know that God never promised an easy road, but rather the opposite. He said, if anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's in the law of Matthew 16:24. And if people hate and fear Christ, the King of glory, it is inevitable that they will prosecute his followers. And we know that when we listen at the radio, we look at the TV on video, and we know that even in certain places, particularly in the Islamic and the communist countries, Christians are being prosecuted. You're hearing it on the radio. Even in the Western countries, time can be hard for those who faithfully stand alone against the tides of humanity and compromise and worldliness. Just because the public overwhelmingly speaks favorably of an individual does not mean that Christ is pleased with his or her life. We know that most likely it's the opposite is true. Perhaps who try to live in a conformity with God's command would find pressure. Pressure would be put on him or her to lower their standards. All who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer prosecution. I'm telling you, saints of God and friends, you that are out there in my digital listening audience, you're going to suffer prosecution. And we know that the presence of God was within him. Hallelujah. I know my time is coming in. And as soon as a person receives Christ as their Lord and Savior, God's Holy Spirit comes into their lives, and then they are now a new Christian. The body becomes the dwelling place of God, in fact. God has promised that his presence will go before, behind them, beside them, below them, above them, and will abide within all who trust him. We know that Paul felt this pressure. He felt the presence of God. And that, hallelujah, is in the law of Acts 9:1. And as many who are made right with God through the work of Jesus Christ. And lastly, I'd like to ask you on tonight, are you converted? We know that there are 5 characteristics of conversion. And that should be true of you. Are you really converted? Are you really born again through the word of God, which lives and abides forever? That's in the law of 1 Peter 1:23. We know that even the worst offenders may be converted. Christ did not come into the world to call, hallelujah, the righteous. He did not come into the world to call the righteous, but to save the sinner. Hallelujah, Jesus. We know that throughout the early ministry of Jesus, an air of generosity and kindness was felt in the land. Whole families and neighborhoods and towns was blessed. When previous blind, deranged, the lepers and sinful people returned home completely restored by their contact with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we know that Saul, the prosecutor, would have met people who had been chained by the power of Christ and would have known of Christ's great influence in the lives of men. But just as the same sun that melts butter can harden cement, the same gospel that was blessing thousands appeared to harden the heart of Saul against the Lord. When he had the opportunity to help at the stoning of Stephen, Saul gladly participated and guarded the coats of those who threw the stone. Eventually, Stephen's prayer, "Father, forgive them," hallelujah, was to be the answer in the life of Saul. In no way we'd be described Saul as good. Hallelujah. But we know that he was converted. Later, he was to remind the morally lax group of believers in Corinth. "But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." We read that in the law of 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. And we will leave it right there. And before ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to magnetize your spirit and infuse your mind, as I have given unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing to you, I would like for you, this program has been a blessing to you, with your walk in God, I would like for you to send all of your correspondence to P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. If you have any prayer petitions that you would like me to pray over, you can send your remittance to God's House of Deliverance Pentecostal Ministry, Blog Talk Radio, in the care of the Old Shiva Zion, Senior Pastor Janice Ward. That's P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Until we meet again, I want you to go in God, as God goes in you. Bye for now.